Praise the Lord.
Father, it is written, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. When I stand through faith that the words were framed by the word of God, all things were made by the word of God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the word of God. So we thank you this morning, Lord, with the word of God in us, nothing shall be impossible. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. So Father, we are here, that's why we are here, gather around your word, Lord. So we, only you can make us understand it, Lord. So as we read this morning, Lord, we ask for divine inspiration. We ask, O Lord God, for understanding and the ability of our faith, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, O Lord God, and be thou glorified in the reading of your word. Bless therefore the reading thereof this morning. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. So by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, the message of the hour is the coming of the Lord. That is the message of the hour. People want to preach many things. They have wondered why we put so much emphasis on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have asked us, why don't you preach about practical affairs, you know, of life, like many other preachers do. They are asking, will not it be better to use the gospel to solve the social and commercial problems of the world? Well, they further inquired. Well, the answer to this question is that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is the solution to all the human problems. That is it, you know, point blank. Only his coming, you know, will solve all the human problems. And talking of human problems and the problem of this world, he has actually solved the major one, that is to redeem the race. What is left is for the individual, the remaining of the race, to accept what he has done. So let's look at some of the earthly problems that will be solved. In fact, all problems will be solved that the people of the world are wrestling with right now. Number one, the problem of the Jew. The Jews, that's a problem. See, with the Jews. So we say that the only hope for the Jews is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin from there. We look at all kind of problems. How is that the coming of the Lord Jesus is the answer to all of it. So the only hope for the Jews is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So about the time the Lord comes to rapture the New Testament first fruits, the Lord will send two witnesses to warn them of the rise of the first Messiah, the Antichrist. Those two witnesses will expose the Antichrist and his covenant of death, spoken aforetime by Isaiah the prophet in the 20th chapter of his book. And here is the ministry of those two witnesses, Revelation 11. I'm going to read it again for a purpose. But still it says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. Talking about the Lord coming is the hope of the Jews, really. And the hope of the world, really. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Close in sackcloth. And verse 7 says, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which initially is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, that's Jerusalem, right? And after 3 days, verse 11 says, 3 days and a half, the spirit of the life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and a great fear fell upon them that saw them. And the verse 12 says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Now, as I was writing this, the Bible says people will be thinking that I've had this often and often again. You know, the Lord say, well, the Holy Ghost is signifying that it will soon take place. Praise the Lord. That's why we are hearing so much often. The Holy Ghost signifying that it will soon take place. And look at the stage is set. If anything happens in Jerusalem now or any part of the world, we can all see it right away. They flash it on the internet, right? We can all see it on yourself or anywhere alive. The stage already set. The Holy Ghost is signifying that this thing will soon take place. So talking about the Jews and their problem. The Lord will protect 144,000 of them. See, the Lord is their answer. The coming of the Lord is the answer for the Jew or for any other reason. This is what I still on. During the judgment of the great tribulation, the trumpet and the fire judgment. So the Lord will protect 144,000 of them. Revelation 7:2 says so. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So we see right there, anywhere we look at it, futuristic. Now, also this time, the Lord has been their help, but the help they will need right next to this one will be the Lord himself appearing, the coming of the Lord. See? So the Lord, in a way, have helped them so far, they are scattering and they are gathering. Maybe in absentia, right? But it's all over the world too. But the remaining part for the deliverance is the coming of the Lord. Now, not only that, we see that the Lord will intervene when the armies of the world converge over the mountains of Israel at Armageddon. See? I want to read that quickly too, you know. So the only hope for the Jew, a day will come when all the armies of the world will converge upon the mountains of Israel. Where is the hope? The Lord Jesus is the hope for the Jew. Revelation 16:13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirit of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And they gather them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So we see. So what armies are? These armies will consist of that of the beast. The Bible says right there. The armies of the 10 kings that are joined together with him. We are told of those 10 kings in Daniel chapter 7, 24. And the 10 toes out of this kingdom. And the 10 arms out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise. So they will be there, all the armies of those, they died there. Revelation 17:12. And the 10, the same thing, tell me about it, those 10 kings. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So, all these things, so will be there also, the kings of the east will be there. Revelation 16:12 says so. Talking about China and the Orientals, right? They will be there, which no doubt include the nations of the Orient. Russia and our confederation will be there upon the mountains of Israel. All of them together, you see, in this age we are living in. Prophecy foretold that all these nations face an apocalyptic judgment. And we can read one of these prophecies that says this. Back in Zechariah 14, the first verse, right? Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. So all those nations upon the mountain, they are going to face an apocalyptic judgment. And the Bible says here, that is Zechariah 14:1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and that spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations, all nations, the Bible says, against Jerusalem. See, the Lord shall be the hope of his people, right? So, the hope of Israel. Into battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So here we are told that the city of Jerusalem is actually taken, and spoiled. The women are ravished by the invaders. And half of the city taken into captivity, we are told. It is at this time, critical time, in the history and the life of Jerusalem and Israelite, that the Lord himself, intervenes and takes a hand in their affairs. We are told in Zechariah 14, this is what I'm saying right now. So we see the Lord is the only hope for Israel. They are jumping here, making friends with that nation, and so forth, in their desperation. The stage is set and so on, but only the Lord will be their head. Zechariah 14:3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. So let's put that here. That's for the Jews and so on, just in summary. Going forward now, the trip, the Antichrist will come, the Lord will send a warning, two witnesses and so forth. Then at the great tribulation, they are sealed, 144,000 of them, we are told. For the judgment of the vials and the trumpets, they are to Armageddon, the Lord himself appears, Armageddon and so on. And he fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now, let's go back on this. The problem of Jerusalem and Palestine is a worldwide problem, right? It's localized to that place, but also a worldwide problem. We are saying when we are talking about the coming of the Lord all the time, all these problems can only be solved only when the Lord comes, right? That's why we're talking about the coming of the Lord all the time. Now, we are told, prophecy says in Zechariah 12:2, Jerusalem has been a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. Just as the scripture said in Zechariah 12:2. No? So, the Jerusalem problem will only be resolved by the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. I will read a couple of scriptures here. While we preach, while the coming of the Lord is the message of the hour. We are the closing hours of this age. We are past, we are near midnight now. We are saying cross the 11th hour of history, of this world and so forth, and the time is short. Even Satan himself knows in Revelation 12 says that he has but a short time, how much more the children of God. When we know that before his final judgment into the pit, the rapture has taken place 1,000 years before, right? So we are very close. Anyway, so let's see now. So, Jerusalem and so on. The coming of the Lord will solve it. Isaiah 2, the second verse. And it shall come to pass in the last days. You and I are living in those days right now. How do we know? By the signs he gave us. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the law from Jerusalem. Verse 4 says, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they land war anymore. So this scripture we just read now show that the capital of the world will be at Jerusalem. At that representation from all nations, we go up to that city of Jerusalem to learn the law of the Lord. And the law of the Lord Jesus will be the constitution of that kingdom age at that time, So talking about Jerusalem and so forth. Now, so the first act of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning the king, the great king, he said, as we have seen, will be to judge the nations. We fight for Jerusalem and so on. After that, we call the destruction and removal of the armaments of the nation. Here in this one, just putting many scriptures together in summary. So destruction of and the removal of the armament of the nations and the various disarmaments and conferences have been held in the past by the great powers of this world. So They are all failed, right? And when they make this agreement of disarmament, what happens? Bandit nations like Russia and China, they use these things merely as a cover to secretly increase their armament. So they make agreements, maybe the US, Russia and so on, so-called warfare and so on, to disarm, right? Under the cover, they are bandit nation, we call them. They don't regard any kind of a law and so on. They used to increase their armament instead of this, you know, and US now innocently disarming, you know. Look at China today. Mighty military and so on, you know. Anyway, that's the purpose why God allowed that and so on, you know, because as I told you, we talk about the king of the east, right? It's part of them right there, you know. So they will say disarmament and so on, and they use it as a cover for them bandit nations, you know. So to increase the armament. Russia did the same thing. Great military complex and so on. But God will disconfit them, you see, because they are against God. Anyway, so now, the redisarmament conference will be at Jerusalem at the coming of the Lord. That will be the redisarmament, you know. The material used in the armament, meaning the guns, the tanks, and the warplanes, will all be junked. You call junkyard, they'll be junked. Okay? And the metals will be melted down for peaceful purposes. At the time that the Lord rain upon this earth and so on, the millennium and so on, that you know. Much of the wealth of the nations has gone into the manufacturing of these weapons of war. You know that? The terrible ways, even right now, Europe, now the NATO country, now they are now speeding up their military budget because of this invasion of Ukraine, right? They are preparing for something. Despite what is happening in the economy of the world, they are boosting their military, they're now spending more money on military just within the last 4 months because of what is happening in Ukraine. See? So much of the wealth of the nations has gone into manufacture of these weapons of war. This terrible waste of earth resources will be ended forever at the coming of the Lord. See? Why we preach the coming of the Lord all this time? That is the only hope for this world. So it will end. And the energies of mankind will now be redirected to end poverty in the millennium when Christ reigns here and so on. They will destroy all those things, all armaments and so on will be destroyed and so on. So the above verses of Isaiah 2 will show that a world government will be established during the millennium. Yeah, not their own type and so on, that you know. We know in our present day, statesmen have realized that at the pace the nations are traveling right now, they will soon destroy one another. They know it. I mean, in Ukraine, just a little thing. Putin said that as atomic war, you know, if you just make a move, you put an atomic something right at our door, right here, you know. So the nations know it, statesmen know it, that they are headed towards catastrophic, and so on, destruction of the world, unless something happens somewhere, and it will. So they are doing this unless a central government is established to control this thing. So the urgency, so we have the League of Nations. Because of this thing, that's why they call the League of Nations. We have to stop war. And now it's a defunct body, non-functional, you know. Couldn't do anything. See? Nobody was able to do it. Now they call United Nations, right? And it's impotent. What can it do to, you know, Russia invading Ukraine? Couldn't do anything about it, right? Just one nation. And they said they have United Nations, right? They couldn't do nothing. You see? So, it is the Prince of Peace only who can solve this problem. The coming of the Lord is the only answer. So to all these problems and so on. So we see both international organizations, meaning the League of Nations and the UN, have signally failed with the result that the nations are now rushing pellmell, meaning they are rushing toward a showdown at Armageddon. What is happening right now, you know? So UN can't do anything. League of Nations is dead. So what is it? You know, only the law. Communism, Russia and all the communists and so on, they are, you know, boldly, you know, making, try to make the world atheistic like themselves, you know. That's what they are trying to do. I mean, grabbing nations, like trying to grab Ukraine, and grabbing land, and grabbing, China is doing this, you know, Taiwan and so on. What's going on, you see? Mm-hmm. So they are doing all these things and so on. And this will result that the nations are now rushing again, as I said, just to Armageddon and so on, that, you know. So now, God permitted this thing for a purpose. Why? You know, all these national, human-made armament and League of Nations and so on for a purpose, you know. So and following it, you know, to see their failure, they will say that they cannot do anything of their self, of their own self. Apart from the law, nobody can do anything. So the law will intervene by destroying the Gentile world system and setting up its own as it's coming. See, that's what's going to happen in this world. And we are living in that stage now. All the times we are seeing our time, you know, the point of these things and so forth, that, you know. So this was foreseen by many, many prophets. Prophet Daniel, in his interpretation of the Nebuchadnezzar's dream, says this about the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Daniel 2:44. And the days of these kings, you know, right now, maybe they are called NATO and so on. After that will come the 10 kings and so on in the Western Europe and so on, the communists and so on, that, you know. In the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, unlike what happened in the other Gentile nations from Babylon. Maybe the Persian fire crushed that one, and you know, maybe the Persian fire answered that, you know, and then the Grecian Empire took that up over, and then we'll call, you know, to the Rome. But this government of the law, that we say, it shall not be left to other people at all, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, why it is clear? So, I love the Lord. He loves his children. He loves us and so forth. That, you know, whatever he does, he involves us. Praise God. Even the ruler of the nations, he will involve us. Prophecy says so. Now, even though he said that he will rule, so, why it is clear that Christ will rule as the King of Kings, it is also evident from prophecy that we have many regent kings exercising authority under him. And this is implied in another dream that Daniel interpreted in Daniel 7:27 concerning God's children. You know, he says this in Daniel 7:27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. See that? Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So involve us. Of course, the book of Revelation says so. The saints shall reign, we shall reign with him. See? That's why we should be leaping for joy. No wonder. Luke 21, Matthew 24, he said all those words, but to his children, they live for joy, right? Because of these things, praise God. He himself, they live for joy. See, because now is our salvation nearer than when we first delayed, you know? So that's what he's telling us. When you look at all these things, the word of tomorrow belongs to the Lord, you know, to the saints of the living God. Right there in Daniel 7:27, ruling the world under him. Even David prophesied, we shall rule the rod with a rod of iron. This honor have all his sins, not just one, all of his sins. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. See, what a day, what a time, what an hour for the sins of the living God. Now, let's go. The problem of the nations. Talking about, looking at the different problems. They say Christianity, you know, people, why can't the gospel address them? They can only be addressed when the Lord comes, you know. So he has done what he needs to do for the race. He died for our sins and so forth, that, you know. And he said to individuals to accept that one and have eternal life. Now, problem of the nations. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he will sit upon the thrones of his glory, the Bible says, at Jerusalem, and shall separate the sheep nations from the goat nations, and only the sheep nations will survive as nations, and be permitted to become part of the millennial kingdom. Scripture, Matthew 25, lot of things in that chapter, about the rapture and many things. I'm going to skip to verse 31, about what I just said now. 25 of Matthew, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him, verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations. See, all nations, mean all nations, right? And he shall separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. How is life when it's the foundation of the world? He has had everything made before the world began at all. Your calling as a Christian, he called you before the foundation of the world. When you answer the altar call, it's just a manifestation which has been done before the world began, you know. So anyway, so now, so the following verses 35 to 40 now tells us that all those nations, they indicate, I mean, this nation that we talk about here, the sheep, they indicate those nations that favor the preaching of the gospel throughout the ages, right now the statements and so on, you know. So where you say, when I was naked, you clothed me, when I was thirsty, you gave me water and so on. So I just want that to mean that the nations that support the preaching of the gospel, that's what he's talking about right there. Now let's move on to verse 41 to see the other goat nations. Now, verse 41, then shall he say also unto them at the left, and those are the goat nations, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. Those verses followed by the to indicate the nations that were hostile to the gospel and persecuted Christianity. All your, the people they are having their feeding now, that is their end, said the Lord. See, look at their end. So all those that persecuted Christianity, Christians and some of that, you know, and were hostile to preaching of the gospel. So that's their lot at the end of the time, you know. So it indicates that these are the nations that were hostile to the gospel and persecuted Christianity. Now, the nations, you know, will become righteous. The one that the Lord pardon will become righteous. Zechariah 14:16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations will come against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of the tabernacle. So all the sheep nations that are left, right? So that they will do that. The other ones unto everlasting punishment. We are the devil and his angels, that's made for the devil and his angels and so forth. So the thing they are having the feed there now, their end is so terrible. You know. Anyway, the following prophecies concerning the nations will be fulfilled as a result of this. Malachi 4:3 says, and he shall judge among many people, meaning the Lord, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their sword, just like Isaiah said, right? Their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they land war anymore. But they shall sit every man under the vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. So you see the futuristic, but the future is here too, not too far away from here, you know. So the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to set up the millennial kingdom is the only way to stop wars and labor troubles that we have today in all the economy of the world and so on, and to stop all socialistic and anarchistic anarchy movements. They are all over the world, you know, and they are making loud noises today and so on, threatening the nations and so on, that, you know, here in the US and everywhere and so, anarchy and so on, that, you know. So the scripture indeed said in Mark 13:20, the Lord said this, and the Mark was not there. It is so terrible, the Lord said, and except that the law had shortened those things, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect, always caring for the elect, right? For the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days already in the mind of God. God, I have chosen you, you said, he said. You have not chosen, I have chosen you. So for the elect, I have chosen. I would like that to say, we shorten it, no, for the elect's sake and so on, that, you know. Otherwise, it's already there, no flesh will be saved. All the nations know that this atomic war should happen today. I mean, it's no, they say there's no winner in an atomic war. That's what they are saying. They know that no, there can be no winner. Before they can do it, the Lord will intervene. That's what he's saying right here. The God needs to do that to destroy the world many times over. But the Lord foresaw all this things. We shorten the, you know, shorten it while we see the coming of the Lord, the only hope of the world, and some of that, you know. Now, how about the problem of Satan and evil? The same thing, the coming of the Lord will take care of that. Finally, you know, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to get rid of Satan and all his evil influences and powers. At that time, Satan will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, the Bible says. So, the Revelation 20 tells us that, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is called the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he will lose a little season more. I always wonder, when you think that he's so powerful, no, not really. The Lord has bruised his head, according to prophecy, like for the book of Genesis and so forth, you know. And it's like actually stand the sole of your feet as a Christian, you know. But you must know what belongs unto us and so on. Your presence and so on, because when we are ignorant or don't take our own part and exercise our authority, you know, on him and so forth. The Lord has done all he can do, he wants to do by the devil. He take an angel, one of the faithful angels, you know, who didn't rebel with him, to put him in that is spiritual chain, right? And bind him. Can you imagine? You know, as one of that, you know. So that shows how little and how fallen and how it is and so forth, you know. Now let's move on now. She's talking about pick some problems about the world, showing that only the coming of the Lord is the answer. Any problem you pick and so on. We can't pick all of them. Only the coming of the Lord is the solution. Now, the problem of the earth itself, this earth we are living in. Since the fall of man, the heart has been caused, right? With thorns and teeth to bring it to the people and so on. And all kind of insects, pests, and disease germs out of nowhere. Man made or whatever, or Satan made, whatever. And man, by the sweat of his face, has been compelled to earn his daily bread and so forth. Right from the court and things like that, you know. Even the brute creation, meaning the animals and so on, became carnivorous in nature. And they learned to prey upon each other, resulting in what the Bible describes in Romans chapter 8, the 22nd verse, the condition of the world. For we know that the whole creation, you see that word, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. See, that's the condition that we got in our hands right now. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will change all of these things that I just mentioned. About the earth, the cursed land and so on, thorn and thistle and so on, all the pestilence and and the disease will be changed at the coming of the Lord. As the following prophecies, we have full fulfillment. Some of them I want to read now have been fulfilled partially in Israel. But you have a large scale fulfillment at the coming of the Lord. One of them, a productive earth will evolve. Israel has had a taste of it now. Before the 1948 and whatever 1948 years, but it's just a vast land, barren land and so on. Now they are producing fruit and exporting to Europe and even the rest of the world. But in the millennium, that will be fulfilled on a larger scale. Isaiah 35 verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Partially that happened for Israel, but in the millennium, to be worldwide really, globally as well. Don't forget in the millennium, the weather will change to the perfect weather, right? According to the word of the Lord. Now, Psalmist prophesying 67 verse 6. Then shall the earth yield and increase. That's in the millennium, right? See, because it's removed and so on, you know. Amos prophesying, Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that sweat the seed. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. What is it in the eye? Bumper harvest. What is it saying? Just summarize as a bumper harvest. Praise the Lord. Now, because the king of, the prince of peace is reigning upon the earth and so on, you know. Now, talking about diseases and so on, you know, healings of all kinds of diseases will take place. When he came here, ministry and so on, he demonstrated on the earth, the global at this time. And when he came, localized in Israel, right? But this time around, all over the world, healing of all manner of diseases. Isaiah 35 verse 5 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. When he came the first time, he fully prophesied in the scale, right? But in the millennium, on a greater scale, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an ass, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall water break out as streams in the desert when the Messiah reigns upon this earth and so on. And according to his promise, reigning with him and so on, that, you know. Another one is this. Harmony of the animals are going to be restored. They won't pray on each other anymore. Isaiah said the 65th of Isaiah during the millennium, the 20th period, the 25th. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Can you imagine that? They can't do it today. Until the kingdom. See, since that time, the whole creation groaning and traveling together in pain. See? Now, anyway, so when the king of, when it comes here, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And the dog shall be the serpent. That one is a cursed animal. They shall not hurt nor destroy at all in all my holy mountains, said the Lord. See? Coming to pass upon this earth and so forth. Now, we have moved through different conditions and problems of this world. We've touched about the world, touched about the Jew. How about the church? The coming of the Lord, bringing the blessed hope. What will be ending with that? The church. So the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of as the blessed hope of the believer. So Titus 2 says so, verse 11 through 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If you like, these are some of the conditions for the rapture, right? As I'm going to see right now. And looking for, what I think, that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And two people coming, it's only one person. It's the same personality, right? The great God, the one line. He told us the deity of our Lord Jesus are right there, you know. Can't see three God, no. No, it's one. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So this hope that some people think is not the hope of salvation, no, we're already past that stage. Salvation is a present possession right now for us. Because people are thinking that it's a hope of salvation, no, we already have past salvation, you know, now are we the sons of God, right? Salvation is a present possession for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So, as our Savior. So, they need not hope for a thing that they already have. So, because I'm saying that because people think that hope, that's the salvation. So, no, we already have salvation. Romans 10:24 says, hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he hope for it? Not salvation. No, it's the rapture, the translation of the church, right? So, we already have salvation. We already see that when we have it. We don't hope for that. Now, so, and the blessed hope is the raising of the dead in Christ to be caught up together in the clouds with the living saints who we never see dead at the coming of the Lord, to meet the Lord in the air at his coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I won't read it, but we know that scripture, 13 to 18 verses and so on. Talking about the blessed hope, talking about all these things that will happen, that will preach the coming of the Lord all the time. You know, and so is the most important message, is the message of the hour, and the hour of this dispensation that is closing rapidly and so on. The blessed hope is also a purifying hope. According to one scripture, it's a purifying hope. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. A Christian will never be popular among the people of this world. If you are, wash your name. Praise the Lord. See? Because they didn't know the Lord, how can they know you? You see? Now, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Talking about the coming of the Lord is the message of the heart. When he shall appear, that's the coming of the Lord. Now, what is the verse 3? And every man that has this hope in him, purify himself. Yes, it's purifying hope himself, even as he is pure. So, looking for the Lord's return will help us to keep ourselves pure. In one place, say, keep yourself pure in one of the epistles, right? How will you do it? See, one of them is by, you know, looking for that blessed hope. See, now, the blessed hope calls for patience too, you know. If you know, in James chapter 5, verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Talking about the most important message, the message of the hour is the coming of the Lord. See, be patient therefore, both to the Jew, both to the world as a whole, and to the Christian, you know. You just pick them, and so there are three groups of people in the world. You have the Jew, you have the Gentile, you have the church, you know. So anyway, this thing addresses all of them. No matter what class of human being, it's the coming of the Lord is the only hope, one and only hope. Now, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he received the early and the later. But it says, be also patient, like our master, the Lord himself. Do you think they don't want to get his bride yesterday, or 1,000 years ago? The problem is the church is not ready, you know, and we haven't completed the work that he gave us to do. But he will come anyway, and it's not far off now. Establish your heart, Bible says, for the coming of the Lord dread nigh. See? So now, what else will the blessed hope do for us? The blessed hope calls for watchfulness. See? You know? Call for watchfulness. Mark 13:35 says so. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, talking about the coming of the Lord, is the message of the hour, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, the Lord said, hear your soul. Watchfulness, we include in anything, see that, you know, it means being careful in our conduct as believers. Among other things, watchfulness, you know, if you are watching, we do not want him to come and find us doing questionable things or be in questionable places, you know, when he comes. We don't want to be like that, you know. Just mentioning a few things, what watchfulness means, right? You know, we will not want to hoard our money, you know, but we want to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. How do we? By supporting and contributing to evangelizing the world, you know. It's always said, whatever money you have, take care of yourself. I mean, support the kingdom of God and use the rest for yourself. Amen? Praise the Lord. That way, turn it off and sort of that, you know. So anyway, so all these things and so forth we do. Now, so, and the blessed hope calls for us to cling very lightly to this world. I mean, if at all you cling to it at all, because we are told in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So, now, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, if you cling to the world at all very, very lightly, you see, so this blessed hope will keep you in that status, you know, not to love the world at all. Because nothing, we are in it, we are not of it, amen? Praise the Lord. See, now, that will keep you that keep that way until it comes and so on. So, this blessed hope will not make us to be idle and be negligent, but it will fill us with real zeal to be found a faithful servant at the return of the Lord. You see, you want to do all you can for the gospel. So, believing the message of the hour is the soon coming, not even the coming, but the soon coming, still to be imminent. But now it becomes immediacy, matter of immediacy. We don't know the day or the hour. See? It becomes immediacy. So, what does it do for us in our life? So, it will make us to be most consecrated people. You know, who are looking for this coming and so on. Unselfish and strenuous workers in the master's service, however you call you, you call it differently. They are different governments, different administrations, the same spirit. What you're asking to do may be different from mine. Just focus on your own things, right? Praise the Lord. Focus on what you want you to do. Don't go and put your notes on what somebody else is doing, right? Just focus on your own things. Different administration and different administration and some of that, you know. They are the same spirit and some of that, you know. So, he is the reward that will reward every man according to his work. Anyway, so praise the Lord. Now, this hope will also keep us from being ashamed as it's coming, the blessed hope. We keep up from being ashamed at his coming. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, meaning the Lord Jesus, that When it shall appear, you see, the most important message, the message of the hour, is the coming of the Lord. When it shall appear, you know, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The blessed hope. We do it in your life and in my life. Watching for him, keeping our house in order, and being in readiness to give a faithful account of our stewardship. See, we are all stewards, right? You know, and so on. And we go a long way for us to not to be ashamed at his coming. The Lord depicted this in the parable of the talents. Even the talents, he gave in one place, he gave one, two, another one, five, according severally according to their ability, right? That's what he did, you know. And then of course the wicked servant, the half wife, he went to bury his own. One want to be like that, I don't know that, you know. I noticed that the last parable of the talent, the one that has two, he said, I've traded the master, I got two more, making four. Have so many dominion of have so many times so on. Enter into the joy of your Lord. They got the same reward, really, you know. The one that has five, I've traded and now I got ten and so on. And the wicked servant, they take the one he has and give to the one that has his ten. Lord, how can I be and so that, you know? Anyway, he is the Lord of the harvest. Anyway, so praise the Lord. Let us focus on what he wants us to do in our life and so on, that, you know. Now, finishing up here this morning. So the hope of the Lord soon coming fills our hearts with joy. Yes? You know, that blessed hope is our joy. Fill our hearts with joy. We are told, for example, when the disciples, when they were parted from the Lord, when the Lord was ascending to heaven and so on, I always like this verse in Luke 24:52. The Bible says, they returned to Jerusalem when he was taken off, you know, with great joy. With great joy, the Bible says, and were continually in the temple, you see, and praising and blessing God. Luke 24:32. You are wondering, when he was here, they hear you know, it's going away and they are rejoicing. Why are they doing that? You know, you think they should be sorrowful, right? Now, when we read another account of the ascension, you know why they were rejoicing. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 1. Why they were rejoicing, verse 10. And why they looked steadfastly toward heaven. As he went off, behold, two men stood, by them in white, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which taketh up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye see him go into heaven. That's the reason for their joy. The second coming again. He's coming again. See? The most important message. Message of the Father. That's why they were rejoicing. You know? So we see right there. Well, as we are getting ready for the coming of the Lord day by day, we don't know the day, but we are getting ready every day, right? So people may question us. Well, you are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Why are you building houses? The people will be asking us. Why are you building churches? The Lord is coming. Why are you building churches and so on? Why are you making investments? They will be asking the Christian and so on. Say it's coming soon. Why are you educating your children? You know, they say the Lord is coming soon. Well, we have a Bible answer for them. In Luke 19, we are told. Verse 12. A certain nobleman went into a far country, talking about himself, you know, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. That's why we are doing what we are doing. We do what we are doing until he comes. If you are a farmer, be on your farm when he comes. If you are a teacher, be in your classroom when he comes, right? Praise God. So, you know, not appear here, but look, don't know where this message goes and so on. There are all kind of dotting out there and so on, you know. So, yes, occupy till I come. By this, the Lord commanded us to occupy till he comes, you know. That's why he said when he comes, two will be in the seed, one will be taken, right, and one will be left. Two men will be at the ground, right, one will be taken, one will be left. So, we have to continue to do what we are doing, to fight it in agreement and not contrary to any of God's word. Then we keep on doing what we are doing. We, according to his promise, look for his return to take us out of this world before the awful days of the great tribulation come. John 14:3 says so. I don't have time. I believe he said that if I go away, I will come again and this is what I said that where I am, you will be also. And many other scriptures says and so. And again, we according to his promise, look forward to when he comes to reign on earth during the millennium, that we shall come with him again as glorified beings to rule and reign over the millennial earth, one day by God's grace. I have to talk about how we are going to come in that form, that glorified form, where we are going to come with the Lord and so on, and reigning, you know, and so on with the Lord here on earth. That's a bit different. I can't go to that this morning and so on, you know. Anyway, that's not, you know, given this, the importance, you know, what I'm talking about this morning, in our witnessing, don't let us just talk about preaching salvation to them. That is the first thing that we tell them and so on. We should include the soon coming of the Lord too, you know. If you don't include the soon coming of the Lord in your witnessing, peradventure the person you witness to, where maybe it's a young person, where actually you have a long time, you know, to wait and sort of that, you know. But if you now ask to them that, hey, apart from salvation, that's just your first step, the coming of the Lord is coming very, very soon to take those who believe on him and so on. Maybe that can change that young person's life and say, look, I have to take immediate action, not to delay and so on. So, you know, our witness, let us talk about the whole thing. I was thinking about the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, that Philip went to preach to, you know, in the wilderness. I think he told him the whole, like they say, the word, he gave him the whole enchilada, as you call it in the word and so on, that, you know. How would that man say, baptize me? Because the brother Philip preached to him the whole gospel, praise the Lord. Then he said, well, yeah, I can baptize you if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I preach to you. Oh, I believe that he is the Lord. Then they went down to the water line. When we are preaching and witnessing, let us tell them the whole story of the salvation, the redemption. Praise the Lord. Talk about the coming and even the soon coming of the Lord. So now, let me just finish here right now. So anyway, as we look for the soon coming of the Lord, let's continue to do all we can to hasten his return, like they did to David. And they bring back the king. 2 Samuel 19:12. You know, without me going to read that one. So all we can do is lay your heart to do, you know, just do your best and so on. So we can, you know, hasten to bring back the king, he said. Let us be ready to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air when he comes. And don't escape the awful days that are coming ahead of us right now on this earth. Days in which no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark of the beast. And all those who have that mark, the Bible says, are eternally doomed. Revelation 13, 15 to 17 says so. So, and let us heed the Lord's command regarding how to escape. Luke 21, 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Yes, the most important message, the message of the hour, truly, it is soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that blessed hope, Lord. We have seen across the earth, no matter what nation you talk about, what people you talk about, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only answer for all the trouble and problems that this world, you know, that is in this world today and so forth. So, Lord, we thank you. The gospel is going forward, Lord. Lord, we bless you and we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name, Lord. Thank you for the coming kingdom. We pray that your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth day by day, as it's done in heaven, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. As we go this morning, now we commit ourselves to your hand, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that we do, our work, we commit to your hand, Lord. I will say, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. To all the matter of our life. We commit to your hand this morning as a corporate fellowship this morning, Lord. All the battles, we know about them. We know you care for us. Help us day by day, casting all our care upon you, 1 Peter 5, 7, 8, and 10, so, because we know that you care for us, Lord. So much so, you even number the very hairs of our head. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, Father, that we may have favor wherever we turn. That's how it was in the early church. And they serve the Lord with gladness, and they ate their bread or meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They have, you know, they have a favor before all men. So be it unto us according to thy word, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you, Father. We worship you. All the other prayer requests this morning will come into your hand, Lord. The one we already pray about, we believe God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, the unspoken requests, we all have requests, Lord, but you know them. Because the Holy Ghost is here, he maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. Search our hearts, he knows what we have need of. So even before we pray, so we believe you as we did this morning, that we meet all our needs, Lord. No, because we are, Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Those are not idle words. They are the truth. They are here, they are in it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he watches over his word to perform it. Pray for your children all over the world. There are difficulties of different degrees, depending on where we live. But the same Lord is more than able to care for each of these troubles that we are living in any part of the world. So therefore, Lord, let the Holy Spirit now, Lord, energize your people. Any hands that are hanging down, they be lifted up, Lord. If there be any weakness in this glorious path, this way, this king's highway, we command strength this morning to hold all such weakness now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Speak to them in the spirit and say, be of good cheer. In the name of the Lord. His coming is not far off at all. Thank you, Father. Until we meet again, Lord, we're going to watch between us, Lord, and let our testimony know no bounds. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.